Okay, I'll call to worship this morning is out of Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know that we have broken your laws and our sins have separated us from you. We ask that you please forgive our many transgressions and help us in our struggles to avoid sinning again. We thank you for your mercy and kindness and ask that you'll give us the same strength and power to do the same for others. Lord, we thank you for all the many things you have blessed us with. We also thank you for being here today and being allowed to worship freely, Lord. All these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
It is really great to be back again. Always hate to say when I'm back because your pastor's gone, but it's nice to see these faces again. Today we're going to read about, and you're going to go, oh, this is so familiar. I know all about that Good Samaritan deal. And I've been told that in Sunday school class, I've been told it in Bible school, at home devotionals, I hear it in church, and but it's been pressed upon my heart. I know when somebody asked, well, what's Rocky going to talk about? And was told, well, tell him to preach on whatever was laid upon his heart, so that's what I'm doing. And today it's the Good Samaritan, and probably about the doubtful lawyer. I don't know if we know any of those. They're usually not pretty confident. But this one here got tripped up. The Good Samaritan, looking at Luke 10, 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37. This is God's perfect word. And on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Great question. What's written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, notice. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he was traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expenses that you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you instruct us in your word, you comfort us in your word, you give us directions for life. Today we're looking at all of them, as we always do, Lord. So we ask that you would rid our minds and our hearts and souls of the cares and concerns of today and the things that encumber us from around, and help us be attentive to your word. And most important, Lord, help us be not just hearers of it, but doers also. And it's in Jesus' name again we pray. Amen. A lawyer approaches Jesus, and he asks a question, actually asks 2 questions. Question number 1, great question. I mean, it's probably the most important question there is to be asked out there. but it's asked wrongly, and we'll see that, okay? What must I do to inherit life? And then, of course, Jesus, is the perfect teacher, and Donna's a great teacher. We got a lot of great teachers in here, but Jesus was really good. and gives him a great answer where he asks him another question, which he answers. You ask your kids to repeat or answer their own questions. That's how they learn, not just giving them everything. So then he says, okay, who is my neighbor? Now the answer, the lawyer skilled in the law answered correctly on the first question because Jesus asked him a question back, did he not? I mean, and he answers it, we find in Leviticus 19:18, where it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The lawyer knew the law. Actually, the other part of it's found in Deuteronomy, right after the Ten Commandments were given. Deuteronomy 6:4-6. Deuteronomy 6:4-6, where it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Very smart lawyer. He knew the answers. Obviously they did. He knew the answer before he came to ask Jesus. Jesus said, this is what you have to do. But we also read in Matthew 22:34-40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, okay, he already had one in his belt, they couldn't get him, so he'd silenced the Sadducees already. The Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, so this just wasn't any similar, rural lawyer. This was an expert in the law. Tested him with this question, teacher. And again, look, they don't say master, they don't say God, they say teacher. You're just a teacher. What is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourselves. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. This was correct. In fact, Jesus had just taught them this concerning the Ten Commandments. But Jesus was saying to him, apply what you understand. In other words, the theme is holding them responsible for what they know. Jesus does not condemn them for what they understand. No. He condemns them for what they did understand, but they did not do. Jesus is holding up a mirror, as he does to all of us, so that the man can see his sin. And have you ever heard this statement before? You've got to get them lost before you get them saved. The question here is, how do I get to heaven, right? What do I have to do to get to heaven? There's nothing humble there. There's nothing about being lost there. There's nothing about needing a Savior. Folks, brothers and sisters, the only way we get to heaven is realize that we're in sin and we need Jesus, and He is the only way to heaven. You've got to get them lost before you get them saved. Jesus knew the questioner here. He could not do it. He couldn't keep this law perfectly. He wanted the man to see it. He wants us to see our sin, to see how much we need Him. Being a lawyer, so trying to be smart to Jesus, trying to trip Him up, he asks a second question then. He says, well then, who's my neighbor? The answer is the parable. Jesus answers him with the parable. He deals with his problem. He deals with our nation's problem. He deals with all of our problems. Self-righteousness. Self-centeredness. I can do it my way. Notice the question again. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 10:30 says, and then Jesus answering, or took him up on him, he threw down on Jesus. He says, what must I do? And Jesus took him up with it. And he answered it. So in the Greek, that means when Jesus answering says, he took him up. Okay, bring it on. And we have the parable all familiar with. This would seem impossible to have happened, actually, in their day. Seems very impossible that this would have happened. But the question was, how far in my social structure do I have to love? How far do I have to go outside of my people that I'm around do I have to go to love? Or how do the love properties, how far do they extend? How far does this go, really? Remember, they hated the Samaritans. The Jews were, they were the royal people. They didn't want anything to do with them. And so he's saying, really? And God's saying, really? You're even asking that question? Who do I have to love? Who is my neighbor? Well, we got these three characters in this play, and the first one's the priest. Now, the priest, now anyone touching a dead body was unclean, and therefore they could not serve that day in the temple, okay? So they said he walked around because he wouldn't want to touch something that might be dead, and he didn't want anything to do with it. But actually, he was going down from Jerusalem. He'd already served. He was going down. So that wouldn't matter at all. He just didn't want anything to do with that person that just needed his help. So he walks around. How many of us are like this? Or the Levite, the leader in the law, the one who's supposed to love and show love and compassion, the one who taught these things, to love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He did the same thing. The teacher of the law walked around. How many of us would do the same thing? Don't want to be involved. Don't want to be a part of this. Yeah, what the Levite had there was kind of an example of a lifeless Christian. Comes to church, plays at church, but doesn't affect how he lives. But the Samaritan of all people, he shows compassion. He doesn't move away, but notice the verses, he goes to the man. He doesn't move away around, but he goes to him. He shows pity on him, shows compassion, shows care and love. To love him, in order to love our neighbors, in order to love one another, in order to love as we are taught to love, like Jesus loved us, we're to go to the world. We're to go to them, not wait for them, because everyone is our neighbor, is what this is teaching. He goes to him. Notice, he moves to him. This is how you love your neighbor. You go to them. And then he cares. He took the time. I know it's a busy life. I know we got tons going on. But there is anything more important than loving, showing love? He went above and beyond. People don't care, Covey says. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Is that not true? I love that statement. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And then the cost. This guy's awesome. He put no limit on how much he would spend to see that the wounded man would be cared for, that he'd be getting along all right. Note, he just told one of his enemies, the Jewish innkeeper, he went to the Jewish innkeeper and he says, here's my Visa card. Charge on it whatever's necessary. I'll cover it. Not even questioning him. He just told that to one of his enemies. The other thing about love is we have to go to them. The second one is vulnerability. You have to be vulnerable to love one another. He had absolutely no qualms about whatever it took to make this gentleman that he found helpless well, to save him. Now, Jesus turned the question on the lawyer. Not who is my neighbor, but who are you neighbor to? Not who is my neighbor, but who are you neighbor to? Notice that. Which one of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him who fell amongst the thieves. The Jewish lawyer couldn't even bring himself to say the obvious answer. He couldn't use the word Samaritan. The Samaritan was the good guy in the thing. Couldn't even say it. Notice that? He couldn't say, well, the good guy is the Samaritan. That'd be an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a good Samaritan. He answered simply, he that showed mercy to him. It was obvious. It was obvious. Who's outside of our social comfort area? Who's outside of our? Well, we would surely stop and help a brother or a maybe child, anyhow, that's in need. But what if it's one of them? Whatever them is in our world, would we help them also the same way? Would we help them? Love does not ask, how far do I go? Love asks, what can I do? Number one, 4 points. The Samaritan had no prior relationship with the man that was wounded. Didn't know him. Number two, he had nothing to gain financially from helping him. Thirdly, he would in fact lose money and time, did he not, by helping him? And fourthly, he did it even though that wounded man probably wouldn't have done the same thing for him. That's always the thing I hear from my grandkids, and I heard from my kids, and I probably said it when I was at school. Well, they wouldn't do it for me. Pretty good example here. That doesn't matter. Who are you neighbor to? Note, even our enemies are our neighbors, per the parable. How you love shows your relationship to God. Shows the difference between works and fruits. I always wondered what the difference was between works and fruits. Well, works is simply a thing of what I can do. Fruits are an extension of what, instead of works are, what can I do to get in? Fruits are what I'm doing because I'm in. Can you see the difference? I'm doing this for the love of God because he loved me, and I'm going to go love my neighbors as myself. Notice, who was in the ditch? Well, it was a Jew. What did it take to get the Jew out of the ditch? A Samaritan. He had to trust the despised outcast of the Jews. The Samaritan did. A Samaritan paid the price to save him. You know what? That's scriptural. We find that in, when we look here, John 8. That's so scriptural. John chapter 8, 45 to 48. Where it says, Jesus now is talking to the Pharisees, the Jews, and he says, yet because I tell the truth, Jesus is talking, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And did that tick him off? The next verse, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? He was saved from death to life by a Samaritan who paid the price. That's exactly a reference to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is saying, he that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not. And then they answered him, thou art a Samaritan. Guess who saves us from our sins? Jesus. The one the Jews called a Samaritan. When we love others, we love him who loved us first. We show that love who saved us from that very pit, did he not? In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, verses 11 through 12, actually 9 through 12, it says, "Which of you, if he asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." We love and we give before he first gave us. Reverend Marcaeus says, "We have committed the golden rule to memory. Now let's commit it to life." The Word of God, know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life. There's a retired Baptist minister writes columns once in a while in the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And he did this, and this is how I'd like to really apply this to today, because I think it's really awesome. His name is James Oldham, and he wrote this. He said, "I recently came across some wisdom from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism." He says this, "I met those among our society who have had votes in the ensuing election, and then I advised them. One, to vote without fee or reward for the person they judged most worthy. Two, to speak no evil of the person they voted against. And three, to take care their spirits were not sharpened against those that voted on the other side." Authored October 6, 1774. He says, isn't that as true today as it was then? He goes on to say, "In today's partisan atmosphere, it's helpful to remind ourselves there's something more important." And he says, "It disheartens me to hear the disdain and things that are going on." But he says, "Let's remember the important things, maintain civility, courtesy, respect, and we work together, even in the midst of our legitimate and strongly held differences, to advocate common good. This will be difficult, but it's all the more vital." And then this is before the election, he wrote this. "Many of us will be very happy with the results of the election, but likely almost the equal number will be sad and disappointed. Let us pray for those who have been elected to office that they'll serve as stewards unto God. Let us also pray for those who have lost that they'll find other ways for fulfilling God's will in the immediate future. And let us resolve, whatever the results, to work together with a new sense of harmony and purpose for a more peaceful, prosperous, and caring community of all God's people." And this from the Guide to Morning Worship, where it says, "Almighty God, I humble myself for faculties misused, opportunities neglected, words ill-advised." And Lord God knows blares have words ill-advised sometimes. Their mouths overspeak, okay? "I repent of my folly and inconsiderate ways, my broken resolutions, my untrue service, my backsliding steps, my vain thoughts. Oh, bury my sins in the ocean of Jesus' blood, and let no evil result from my fretful temper, my unseemly behavior, my provoking pettiness. If by unkindness I have wounded or hurt another, do thou pour in the balm of heavenly consolation. If I have turned coldly from need, misery, or grief, do not in anger forsake me. If I have withheld relief from pain, do not withhold thy gracious bounty from me. If I have shunned those who have offended me, keep open the door of my heart to my need and their need. O thou God of all grace, make me more thankful. Make me more humble. Make me more serviceable. Then send me out to make you known to my fellow man." Who are you a neighbor to? That's the question. You know, I think it's very much true today as it was 250 years ago, that we can be an example of exactly what this church needs, what this community needs, what this state needs, what the country needs, what the world needs. Is all the Christians together loving the Lord, the God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength, and loving their neighbor as themselves. Let us pray. Thou, Father, you are perfect love to us. We are imperfect in our being. But, Lord, we strive to be holy. So, Lord, help us be mindful, not of ourselves, but of others. Because as you have loved us, we show your love in how we love one another. Whether it be within this church or without, as we go forth, help us show the love of Christ. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
To close, I have picked number 6, 24 to 27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great week.